So we're continuing on with our tithes and offerings and having a grateful heart. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Psalm 100 this morning. And I don't know about you, but there's been so much gratefulness in my heart just for all the things that God is doing, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of people in our church and the people we've been praying for. And even the miracle testimonies that are coming in, like this morning about, you know, people that went through the hurricane and came out pretty much untouched. Amen. I'm so grateful for just the blessing of God in my life. And when you're grateful, when you have a grateful heart, it just changes the outlook of your life. When you choose to be grateful. And sometimes you're like, well, I don't have a reason to be grateful. But you know what? I've learned that there is always a reason to be grateful. There's always something in your life. If you'll stop and look, God can show you, even in the darkest of times, even in the times where it just feels like nothing is going right, amen, if you choose to have a grateful heart, you'll begin to see the reasons to be grateful, amen? For me this past week, I've just been really grateful to the Lord for blessing us with, we've had extra lately, and it's been such a blessing because I love to give. And one of the things I love the most is I love being in behind or in front of somebody at the grocery store and helping to pay for their groceries. I love that because I can remember when it was tough to meet my grocery needs. Amen? And I remember thinking, Lord, if I could just make it stretch a little further, and someone would come out of nowhere and just give me money. And they're like, here you go. And I thought, Lord, I want to be at the place where that's me, where I can be blessing somebody else with their groceries. And the last couple of times I've done it, it's been so awesome to see the people. And they're just like, what? You want to do what? I'm like, yeah, here, just put this toward your groceries. And just, it's almost like shock, which is sad, really, when you think about it, that people are so shocked that someone else could care, right? And but every time I'm like, God bless you. God bless you. God loves you, you know, encouraging them. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't have Jesus, that don't have any hope. And so when they get to the grocery store, it's a decision. Sometimes a decision of what do I get so that I can make it through my month. Amen? And I pray and I ask the Lord, because it's not everybody that I'm in front of or behind, but there'll be times when the Lord will say, yep, this is the one. This is the one. Do this. Amen? And so I just encourage you, when you have a grateful heart, your response should be to give unto the Lord. And that's in your offerings here, but it doesn't have to just be here. You could be standing in the line getting your coffee and be like, Lord, I'm so grateful I have the money to buy my coffee. That it's not like I have to not pay a bill to buy my coffee, but I have extra to buy my coffee. Thank you for that. And then you let your gratefulness overflow and say, I want to buy someone else's cup of coffee. Or maybe leave a bigger tip for the person that is serving you with your coffee. Amen? But that's what happens when you have a grateful heart. It overflows in your life to where the people around you know that you're a grateful person. Well, sometimes they may just say, you know, that happy person. They're just always happy. But you know what? I'd rather be happy than be sad all the time. I had a friend once say to me, she was like, you know, you're always happy. But what if something terrible happens? Then what? I'm like, well, I'm still going to be happy. And she's like, but why? And I said, well, I could be sad about something that I don't know it's coming and then it never happens. Or I can choose to be happy and consistent the whole time. And she's like, but what if it is bad? And she just couldn't get it through her head that I could still choose to have joy. Amen? But that's affected her in her life. And now when things aren't going good for her, she calls me. Okay, I need that prayer stuff that you do. Amen? So our grateful hearts do overflow and touch the lives of people around us. Let's go to Psalm 100. And I love this psalm. It's literally a psalm just of a grateful heart. And it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. How many people know sometimes you just have to shout? Amen. Sometimes the enemy is coming in on all directions and you feel the weight of it, but have you ever just shouted? I've done it in my house before. When the weight feels like, oh my goodness, Lord, and it's just like, I'm just like, no, praise the Lord. Lord! Like around the house shouting my prayer. I'm sure if anybody like had a camera in my house, would be like, ooh, she's lost it, right? But we do need to lose it. We need to lose the weight that's hanging on us, right? We need that to be lost. So sometimes we have to just do what the Bible says and make a joyful shout. And it doesn't have to be a beautiful shout. It's just a shout, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And before you know it, what happens? Something lifts off of you. That heaviness is gone. So make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't be a depressed Christian. Don't be a depressed Christian. Don't be a sad Christian. When people see you, they should see this. And you may say, well, I don't feel like it. You know what? It doesn't matter what you feel, because our truth is not based on our feelings. Our truth is based on the word. So you continue to walk out the word until your body and your feelings line up with the word. Amen? Amen. So serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I love that part. That's just me in my whole life. I just ask my nieces. They're always teasing me that I sing all the time, or I'm humming. I'm constantly humming some, and I don't even realize that I'm doing it most of the time. I have one of my older nieces, Lexi. She used to, when she was little, she'd say, "You're doing it. You're doing it." And I was like, "What am I doing?" She's like, "You're humming again. You're humming a praise song." I'm like, "Are you sure?" She's like, "Yes, I heard you." And I was like, "Okay." And they would come over and play a lot. And I would be doing things. And she'd walk up and go, "Aunt Shelley, you're doing it again." And I'm like, am I humming again? She's like, "Yeah." And you're kind of singing too when you do that. And I didn't realize how often I was doing that until she pointed out when she was little. And so, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because what? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen? So when you're singing, you are constantly in the presence of the Lord. You're bringing his praise down on you. Amen? He's coming down, you're going up, right? But his presence is with you. So come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. What does that mean? What does it mean if he is God? If he is God of your life, then he's got this. You aren't subject to the world. You're not subject to your own body and your own feelings. Amen? Because you've placed him as Lord of your life, and he takes care of his own. Amen? So know that the Lord is God. Don't just wonder about it. Know. And how do we know? Get in your word. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Aren't you so grateful for that? Just brings up Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not, what? Want. I shall not want. What is it that you want in your life? If he is your shepherd, he'll provide it. That's what the word says, right? He will provide. He is your shepherd. And what an awesome thing to know, because sheep aren't very smart. And I'm not saying that we aren't smart, but sometimes we don't make smart decisions, right? And aren't you so glad for a shepherd that leads us with his rod and his staff, not to beat us. They don't beat sheep. They just tap them. Get in line. Or sometimes they got to use the hook and pull them out of something they've got themselves into. Amen? Your father is not up there with a heavenly rod and staff waiting to beat you when you make a mistake. No, that's to guide you and lead you and to get you out of trouble. Amen? So he is our shepherd. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That doesn't just mean when you come into church. Although when you come into church, if everyone came in those doors with a thankful and a grateful heart, our services would be phenomenal. You know why? Because you're bringing in his presence with you. You're not waiting to get to church to get into his presence. Amen? So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Come into this place already prayed up and praised up. Be thankful and bless his name, for the Lord is good. we have a good, good Father. Amen? His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So you're not just being grateful for yourself. You're being grateful for the truth that you have chosen to live in your life. The truth that you have chosen in the Word of God to place number one. It's not just for you. It's for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren and your great-great-great-grandchildren. And it keeps going and going and going because it says it endures to all generations. If you have children that are not serving the Lord right now, don't freak out. Just praise him. Praise him because you have made that choice for truth. His mercy endures forever, and it's to all generations. Amen? So you just speak, thank you, Father, for all the generations behind me that know your word, that are going to serve you with all their hearts, and no matter what they're doing right now, I choose to stand on your promise that all generations are going to serve you. Amen? All of this from a grateful heart. Can you see how powerful it is? It is a powerful, powerful thing in our lives if we choose to be grateful. And that comes through our tithes. I mean, not our tithes, but our tithes are just requested of us. But it comes through our offerings and our missions and giving to things that we give to in this church. That is an overflow of thanksgiving to him when you bring those in. Amen? So grab your tithes and your offerings this morning, and let's come before him with an attitude of praise as we give. Amen? Not of sadness, but of gladness. Amen? We're going to be the happiest Christians anybody has ever seen because we realize it's not just a fake thing. No, we have so many reasons to be grateful. It just spills over into happiness. Amen? Amen. Father, we just praise you. Just lift up your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just praise you for this gift that we can bring before you. We praise you, Lord, for all the things you have done in our lives, for the jobs and the sources of income, Lord, that you've brought to us. We praise you. We know that it is you alone that cause us to have wealth. And we just thank you for that. And we praise you, Lord, for an abundance, Father. An abundance to be able to give to every good work, Lord. An abundance to be able to give when there's someone in need. An abundance to be able to bless people, Father. We thank you, Lord, for that abundance today in Jesus' name. And if there's something holding back someone's abundance, right now, in the name of Jesus, I break that thing over their lives, and I thank you, Father, for an open window above their lives, Father, that you're going to be able to pour out that blessing that they cannot contain. And Father, I praise you for every seed that has ever been sown into Redeemed Church in all the years that we have been a church. I thank you, Father, that I say all those seeds, you are growing, you are flourishing, and you are harvested in Jesus' name. Angels, go forth, and in every person's life who's ever sown into this church, Lord, I believe that they're going to get harvest this coming week, Father. We just speak in. We call in that harvest from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we praise you, Father. And it will be an offering that we'll be able to continue to give because of the gratefulness in our hearts. And Lord, we just praise you for your faithfulness today. Bless every seed that is sown. Bless every sower. And we just thank you, Father, for the multitude that you are bringing in. Because we are not seed collectors. We are orchard tenders. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we're continuing on this message, really inspired by Pastor George and Terry Pearson's at Kenneth Copeland Ministries on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast back in the month of August. They had a message that went for about 3 weeks entitled How to Be Strong in the End Times. And I really felt stirred to just track with that and teach a lot of the notes that they brought out. This may be the final one that we do. There's possibility for one more, but we're real close to where I feel a release from the Lord to move on. And you know, it's really interesting because with Jesus, there's just no end. That's one way I know that I'm called to do this because there's just no end to the messages. It's almost like there's so many messages, it'd be nice to have more services because there's so much that he just invests and shows me during last week. I feel like he laid out pretty much through the almost into the spring what he wants me to be focusing on. And I thought it was really interesting because for about the past 4.5 years, I've pretty much felt one thing, all the political stuff that's going on, addressing those things and just coming at it, message it in series, you know, after series. But this time, and I was kind of like taken back by it, there was almost a lifting of that. It's like, you know, if you've ever seen these war movies when there's a dogfight and they have a radar screen and there's all these planes coming, that's what we've been dealing with for the past 4.5 years. And we've had to deal with it one item by one item. And we still will. The Lord will bring it up. We're not saying lighten up on the prayers and over, you know, this is a huge election, all these kind of things, right? And we're not lightening up. I just when he laid out for me our teaching and preaching scope, it was like, wow, right? And it's like the emphasis is not on that now. It's like he's saying we're beyond it in the spirit. And I'll tell you what, it was just kind of like, for me, it was like, whew, hallelujah, right? Now, that will be coming up. I know he is Lord. And there'll be points where we're referring to things that are going on and talking about it. I'm not saying, you know, I'm fatigued with it and we're quitting on all that stuff. Not at all. I'm just saying he is Lord. And the next about 4 different series that he gave me have nothing to do with any of that stuff. Right? And yet, I know him. He will emphasize it again and again and again because it is important. Some things you just pepper in as the Lord, you know, would do it. But I really feel like we're in the birth canal. And there was a point with one of my children, I remember, I think it was Lane, when he was born. And it was the birthing process was happening. And I was there with Shelly, and the doctor wasn't in the room. No, I think it might have been Lindsay, actually. And Lindsay came fast, right? She was the only one that was kind of a, quote, normal birth. Where it was, honey, it's time. Okay, all right, let's get in the car. And we went to Providence across the river there. And we got there, and Shelly was like, no, I mean it's time. And the doctor was like, oh, no, it's going to take a while. And Shelly said, tell her to get in here. And she came in, and she's like, oh, yeah, it is time. And then she used these words to her assistant. She says, birth is imminent. Right? Hallelujah. And not to be gross or anything, but she didn't even have time to put on the gloves. It was like, whoa, here we go. Woo! Congratulations. Right? And we are at a point with our nation, with everything that's been going on in our nation, where breakthrough is imminent. Right? Hallelujah. Brother Copeland said, 25, the U.S. is coming alive. Right? And so all these things are great, but somebody say, vote. Do not forget to vote. Your vote matters. Your vote counts. And encourage people around you to vote. But like Shelly was saying, this heaviness that's been on our nation for the past 5 years, we need to see to shake it off, keep shaking it off, turn it to praise and thanksgiving, and smile and just rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah, right? And believe him. But this message specifically is designed to carry us way beyond right now. Pastor George preached on this very topic last Sunday. So if you want to hear more about this, also provided for you, as promised, in the back there, some confessions that Pastor George provided, strengthening our spirits. And there's like 2 pages back to back of things that you can be studying and speaking. That's the exercising our spirit, is the speaking of it, right? And last Sunday, I think it was the 13th last week, he did a message that was just, I'd encourage y'all to watch it and listen to it. It's right along these lines. But the foundation text has been Proverbs 18:14, Amplified Classic, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it says this, Proverbs 18:14, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak or broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Hallelujah. And then Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Everybody say, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So again, this isn't just about Steve telling Steve to toughen up, right? No, this is about reminding Steve it's the Lord's strength that I'm strong in, right? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. And the notes I want to focus on today from their third week of teaching, these are straight from their notes, the next couple of points here. Point B there, what a weak spirit looks like. They emphasize this. And they said, one of the first results of a weak spirit is self-centeredness. We've all been there, right? Other telltale signs are a lack of joy, discouragement and in despair, desire to quit, a victim mentality, kind of that everyone's out to get me thing. It's everyone else's fault, right? Constant complaining, and depressed. These are symptoms and signs of a weak spirit. And again, we're not talking about God's Holy Spirit. We're talking about us, our spirits. Right? Remember the truth is that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. If you've ever been to a funeral, right, you see the body laying there, but there is no life in that body. Because Elvis has left the building, right? That's the tent. And obviously something changed because Mr. Smith is not moving. He's not breathing. If no one moves him, he'll lay there forever, right? Or until Jesus comes back, right? Because his spirit man has departed. And we know in the Word clearly teaches us that when someone dies, they go to one of two places. There's not 31 flavors of death like Baskin Robbins, right? It's two options, up or down, smile or frown. Ever see that bumper sticker? How do you prefer to spend eternity, smoking or non? Right? And that's what this picture of the escalators has been to reemphasize, because Pastor Terry talked about the last days. One of the hallmarks of the last days, the end times, is this acceleration or escalation of evil, right? And I think we've noticed that in the last days, right? I used the back in the 80s, there was this teaching in the church about things that secular music might be saying backwards to get into the subconscious of children, right? And they even played some of them, and it was creepy. It was creepy. Well, nowadays, they don't need to play nothing backwards. Just play it forward. It comes right out with it, right? And nobody, and you do, but no, for the most part, the world could care less. Right? Why? Because there is this escalation of evil. They're trying to make evil things seem normal and even like a better choice, a healthy choice, when it's straight up a lie from hell. Right? And then the other escalator, people are going up, and there's escalator, people going down. There's only two choices, two options, Jesus or the devil, heaven or hell, up or down, light or darkness. Right? Amen. So as we're choosing to live for Jesus, it's important to remember to be praying for people that are on the other escalator, right? And if you'll notice at that point, there's this place where these escalators intersect, and that's the point where you can say, hey, come on over here, I'll help you. You can jump off that hellbound escalator and come on up with me to heaven. Hallelujah. And there's also the option for the other way, too. You know what? This Jesus stuff ain't working. I'm changing escalators. And there's people that'll take a whole church. You know what? We've been we've been on this escalator for so long, we might as well just put the rainbow on our logo and talk about all the woke stuff and just who cares what the rest of the church is doing or what the Bible says. Let's just not offend anybody and let's just act like the rest of the world and put Jesus' name on it. That is dangerous stuff. Somebody say, stick with him. Stick with Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Pastor George emphasized the indicators of a strong spirit. These are just things for us all to be checking ourselves with and watching for in our own lives, right? And it all really comes from spending time with Jesus. It's not like this laundry list of things we need to be doing. Really, it's one thing. Somebody say it's one thing. It's the Mary and Martha story. Read it if you know what I'm talking about. Look it up. Martha was worried and concerned about many things. And Mary, she just did one thing. Sit down at Jesus' feet and spend time with the Master, right? Hallelujah. But here's some indicators of a strong spirit. Number one, he says, assured and confident, right? In 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 and 13 and 14, the word says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. We having the same spirit of faith. Somebody say spirit of faith, right? According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Hallelujah. So the faith message isn't saying that there's no bad things, there's no evil things, there's no trouble, there's no trials. That's just foolishness, right? We live on planet trial. We live on planet trouble. But just because it's pressing against us doesn't mean we have to open up to it and embrace it and welcome it and celebrate it and act like it's normal. Amen. Number two, he says, you're established and unmovable. These are, again, indicators of a strong spirit. Psalm 112, 7 through 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Somebody say, I'm established and I'm unmovable. I'm assured and I'm confident. Right? Amen. Number three, he says, an indicator of a strong spirit is you're ready for anything the Lord tells you to do or anything the devil throws at you. Philippians 4:13, Amplified Classic. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything. And equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that part. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Hallelujah. You know, the only branch of our armed forces, to my knowledge, that hasn't had problems with recruiting is the Marines. Because they haven't bought into woke. And I'll tell you this, they are ready for anything. Right? And we're praying for the other branches. I heard the other day that all of the branches are openly supporting Trump. Like, yeah, we don't want that other option. We need this one to bring us back to, you know, to being ready for anything. We don't want a Navy, for example, that celebrates diversity and emphasizes, you know what, we finally have a submarine with male and female on board. And that's their big thrust for military strength. They asked an African-American retired veteran, you know, an officer, and he said, we ought not even be thinking about all this diversity stuff Because I guarantee you our enemies aren't. Hallelujah. Somebody say breakthrough time. Breakthrough is imminent. And it's coming quick. Hallelujah. Number four, an indicator of a strong spirit, an overcomer's attitude. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have an overcomer's attitude. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Our Savior and Lord is the greatest example of an overcomer in the history of overcomers. And I had somebody tell me once, don't get involved politically because Jesus was a pacifist. He was passive. that just didn't sound right to me. Right? Now, sure, he allowed them to crucify him. He was silent like a lamb going to the slaughter. But what he was doing was the most aggressive military action in the history of all time. By laying down his life, he was saving everyone else's lives who will put their faith in him. Amen? And shutting the devil's mouth forever. The devil thought he had him, right? Where was he for those 3 days? In the belly of the earth. He was in hell. His spirit, right? Separated from God. And the devil thought he had him. And then 3 days in, and if you read in Psalms, there are scriptures prophetically that talk about what he was going through during that time. And it says he was praising God. Praising God in the midst of total hopelessness, right? And then that place began to shake, and the devil just realized, uh-oh. And out he came out of there with the keys of hell and death and Hades, right? Victorious, leading captivity captive, and my goodness. Escalator number one opened up. Back up to a reconnection with God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So an overcomer's attitude, that's who Jesus is, right? Number five, indicator of a strong spirit, stays calm, cool, and steady. 2 Timothy 4:5, Amplified Classic. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly. That's a cool word. Somebody say unflinchingly. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Glory to God forevermore. I remember a story, you might have heard this story too, of Gloria Copeland in Florida or somewhere, and there's a tornado coming, and they're having a meeting, and the roof starts to shake. And she just kept right on. I think they rebuked it, and there's audio of it. They rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and she just went right on teaching, right? Unflinchingly. And that storm, of course, moved on. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Indicator of a strong spirit, number six, doesn't give up and quit. Hebrews 10:32 in the NIV 84. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Somebody say, stand your ground. It's your ground. It's what Israel's doing right now. Taking their ground. A year ago when they attacked and brutally murdered all those people and the Hamas, I heard this past week, and this is a year ago now, a little over a year ago. They killed the architect of the whole thing this past week, like the Osama bin Laden of 9/11. They found that guy, and he's dead. Right? And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, this isn't the end of the war, but it's the beginning of the end of the war. What do you say? Stand your ground. Despite all the opposition, despite all the accusations, despite all the craziness that the world is trying to push on them to conform and just quit. No, because this is what we have to do. This is the right thing to do. Praise God for leaders like that, right? Somebody say, stand your ground. The word of God is our ground, the promises of the word of God. Amen? Praise his name forevermore. We're going to talk a little bit more about Israel in just a moment here. And number 7, the indicator of a strong spirit is you're full of joy and peace. I remember hearing Zig Ziglar speak once, the motivational speaker. He's a Christian guy as well. And he said, he's talking about joy. And he said, I'm not talking about walking around like you have a banana in your mouth sideways. No, the true joy of the Lord. That is your strength, right? And the word says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't it nice to know Jesus isn't up there, the Father isn't up there, all depressed and worried and stressed and fearful. And, oh, what if, what's the devil doing, right? No, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I think Mark Hankins was sharing something that he learned over the years, that the joy is the serious business of heaven, right? Amen. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. So our faith is in him, not in ourself. Hallelujah. This is not mind over matter. Amen. I was in a business meeting this week, and I meet with a bunch of business people every week, and we share business together. And this one person was sharing how they get up in the morning and tell themselves, look in the mirror and make a positive confession of how successful they are and how good looking they are. And then they said they had a conversation and everyone was like, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. And then they said that they had a conversation with someone that uses their service. And then they kind of changed their attitude with this person came on the phone and said, I'm blessed and highly favored. And everyone started kind of mocking it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait a second. You were just telling yourself in the mirror. And yet someone else comes out with they're blessed and highly favored, indicating faith in God. And that's weird to you? And I was every week there's one of the business people gets a chance to elaborate and present and share a presentation. That happened to be my day. So my family was on the screen, and I'm like, and we are blessed and highly favored, and you can be too. And we also pastor a church, and you can see us on YouTube, because they ask you these things. They want to know more about what you do and who you are. And I said, we also do this other thing, you know. So anyway, the thing is there, our faith is not in ourselves. Now, that's better than nothing, I guess, if you have to have positive mental attitude. But there's something much, 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 much greater that we can put our faith in. And he's called Jesus, right? It's the word of God. Somebody say, I am blessed and highly favored. And if anyone wants to poke fun at that, let them poke fun. But they're confessing other things. Shelly talked about yelling something. There's been times where I've been wanting to yell something, and it wasn't praise the Lord. It might have been something rated PG or rated R that wanted to come out of my mouth because I was mad or frustrated. But I'll tell you what, if we can get that key that she shared, and when that thing, that negative shout wants to come out, or a shout of fear, or worry, or stress, or frustration, we ought to always just train our spirit to, instead of letting the devil use our mouth to curse and release something deadly from our life, we ought to just immediately, by the Spirit, just catch our tongue and say, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" I mean, Jesus praised him from the pit of hell. What could be worse than that? Well, my team's losing, Steve. Praise the Lord, right? Or something, got a bad medical report, or some fearful thing, or somebody did something crazy on the highway, or whatever, right? We ought to just shout, "Praise the Lord, glory to God." Pray in another tongue if you have to. Well, I want to close with this. This is something the Lord showed me this week. And Pastor George did say, "Hey, add your own notes." It's all right. So, but I was I've shared before that I've been doing the Torah portion with Israel. This for the past year. I started maybe in September of 23, and every Saturday I've done this, where I read the weekly Torah portion, and then in about February I started listening to Rabbi Joseph Shulam. He's got a little tidbit on YouTube that he does for every week, and it's been great, you know. But this past week, they do special ones when there's a Jewish or really a biblical holiday going on. And we talked about Rosh Hashanah, right? And what's the one that comes after? Oh, the Day of Atonement, right? Yom Kippur. Well, right now is the third Jewish or biblical holiday. I try not to call it Jewish because really it's biblical holidays, right? But it's Sukkot right now. It's Feast of Tabernacles happening. It started on Wednesday, I think, at sundown, and it goes through this Wednesday, I believe, at sundown. So we're right in the middle of this really significant time, right? And the rabbi reminded me that the Sukkot, or Feast of Tabernacles, is the Feast of Booths, which is tents. And it's to remind us of the time when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they had to camp outside for 40 years. So many Jews and even non-Jew, you know, messianic believers will actually put a portable structure made of things you can easily take down because they were ready to move. A lot of it is made with organic branches and fruit, and they make it really beautiful. And they put a structure out in their yard. If you're in the city, like Rabbi Joseph's ministry, they put it actually on the roof of their building. And the roof is supposed to be see-through, so at night you can look at the stars, right? And you're expecting guests from heaven, heavenly guests. And there's seven nights, and the first night they're looking for Abraham. The second, he calls them virtual guests, right? The second night they're looking for Jacob, or Isaac. The third night they're looking for Jacob. The fourth night, Moses. The fifth night, Aaron. The sixth night, David. And the seventh night, the Messiah. Right? So they're rehearsing these things in their minds and in their spirits. And he says it's one thing that brings everybody together. No matter what their financial status is, everybody is one. They're out in the elements. Right? With their families, and they make it fun and festive. It's the end of the harvest. The harvest is gathered in, kind of like yesterday. We went to the Fruit Loop out in Hood River, if you've ever done that. And there's apples and pears and all kinds of stuff out there, cinnamon rolls. And and they're celebrating the ingathering of the harvest, right? And the Feast of Tabernacles reminds us prophetically of the end of time when God brings his tent down from his tabernacle, which is a city that will literally land in Israel, right? Game over for the devil, right? Hallelujah. But it's also, this is something I hadn't heard before. Rabbi Joseph said, it's also about water. Because it's seasonally, it's always the time where the rain season begins. And even around here, this time of the year is usually where we start seeing more rain, right? And he said a Bible verse that Jesus specifically, because Jesus and his disciples, they honored these times. And it's John chapter 7, where Jesus is getting ready with his family to go to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And his brothers at that time didn't care much for him. It might have been tough being Jesus' brother, right? Do you think they ever heard, why can't you be more like Jesus? Right? And so they were kind of prodding him and mocking him because they knew his ministry was going and all these miracles are happening. And they said, hey, Jesus, anybody who wants to be famous, this is the kind of thing you come and just put yourself out there. Why are you hiding? They're just, you know, being mean to him, right? And Jesus is like, my time hasn't come yet. So he hangs back because they were trying to kill him, some of these leaders, right? But it says later he did come to the feast and he found his way to the temple. And guess what day he began teaching at this festival? It was on, somebody say, the seventh day. The seventh day when all of Israel is looking for the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? All these things in the Word of God that have connections to these things that most Christians don't even know, right? But I want to specifically look at verses 37 through 39 because this has everything to do with having a strong spirit. Amen? And it says this, on the last day, that great day of the feast, won't it be a great day when the Messiah comes? Amen? I mean, the return of Jesus, that's going to be a great day, right? On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. I mean, now he's not whispering. He cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Everybody knows this is the beginning of the rainy season. So he thinks, water. I am the water, right? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Don't you know that's what this world needs? That's what people in that business meeting I was in the other day need. And I believe that's what they experienced. Because a lot of them, I mean, this, I told them in this meeting, right? I just let the Holy Ghost flow. I mean, they're asking me the questions, right? We are blessed and highly favored too, and so can you be. I said, in fact, I was in the ministry also, and there's a YouTube channel where you can hear me preach. And I was like, but I know a lot of people don't want to hear preaching. So I've got this other YouTube channel where I just do parody songs, and they're fun, and they make you laugh, because a lot of people just need to be lightened up, have fun, hear something funny. And boy, they started pulling them up on their phones, and they're... But we went back around. They always go around the horn, and everybody shares something that they learned and appreciated from the meeting. And one lady said this, I want to hear you preach. One out of 25. Right? But the seed was sown. It wasn't in a condemning, harsh, mean, ugly, nasty. I mean, the world is done. Jesus is done with that. It's in an inviting, the door is open. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Right? Glory to God. So we let the Holy Ghost do that, right? But Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In the verse 39, but he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. Somebody say, that's me, right? For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, we know here on the other side of the cross and the empty tomb in the upper room that we now live in the days where we can be people where our heart literally flows out rivers of living water. Now that is spiritual strength. The devil has no answer for it. The world has no answer for that, right? So what I want to do right now is I want us all to stand up, and we're just going to receive that. We're going to receive a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God, Hallelujah. We're just going to ask him for it. We're going to believe him for it. Hallelujah. And just watch for those rivers of living water. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your hands and thank him today for his words. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I receive your Holy Spirit, Lord. I receive that Spirit. I receive you as the water of life, Lord. I receive those rivers of living water flowing out of my heart. Hallelujah. And one indication of that for sure is the evidence of praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, rivers of living water flowing through you, even changing things in our character that need to be changed, blowing things out of our life that need to be blown out of our life, like the breaking forth of water. King David called God in a time where his life was up against a wall, and God miraculously saved him. He talked about God being the master of breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for being the master of breakthroughs. He talked about it being like a breaking through of water through a dam. Hallelujah. Somebody say, breakthrough is imminent. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Just praise him. Go, oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, and we praise you, and we praise you, Lord. Even during this very time of Sukkot on the calendar, Lord, that you would have this topic come up today. We receive those rivers of living water that you speak of, Lord. Somebody say, I receive that. I receive that flowing out of my heart. Glory to Jesus' name. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Kola deshita la vi mi alando. She la revi bashinta la la va bando. Ke ya la le de. She ya la va bakule de ke. Glory, 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 glory to God. Ke la la va be shita la va mi de. Praise the name above all names. We praise you, and we praise you, and we praise you, and we praise you, and we thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory to God. We release those rivers of living water to break through, hallelujah. Break us through, break others through, break the church through, break the nation through, break our families through in Jesus' mighty name. Break our households through, break our health through in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for that spiritual strength that flows out of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise, 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 praise the Lord. Somebody say, I'm standing my ground. In the face of adversity, I'm standing my ground. Rivers of living water flow out of my life and bring life to other people around me and repel the devil and his plans to kill, steal, and destroy, and release the life of God. Flourishing, abundant life flows out of me and flows out of this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I see the image that Shelley shared about that church in Tampa Bay right now, in the middle of the water, in the middle of the water. Somebody say, there is water flowing out from this place. There is water flowing out of this place, invading our flooding our communities, flooding our families, flooding our nation with the glory of God, bringing life and health and healing and strength. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus, for that water of life, those rivers of living water, those waters of breakthrough, those breakthrough waters. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say, I receive it, Lord. I receive it today. I receive it today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Praise his holy name. Somebody say amen.